Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the Ring of Honor television show that aired on Destination America on November 11th, 2015. The show aired previously in syndication. That is what I will be reviewing. I actually check out the syndicated airing as it over the weekend. It's on about three times in Minnesota on one of our local stations. So if there's anything different from what you saw on Destination America as I'm recapping now, you know why. This show was actually taped October 23rd, my girlfriend's birthday, in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And this was the, I believe, the first show from that set of tapings. And we had Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness on commentary. They're still playing up that Steve Corino is out of, he's at least off of commentary for the time being due to getting physical once again with BJ Whitmer. And Corino's missed. I mean, Nigel's fine, but I think Corino is just so good at what he does, and I look forward to him eventually getting back on commentary. They did hype the Briscoes versus All Night Express as the main event of the show, and they went right to the opening match, which was ACH defeating Cedric Alexander. And Beta Scott was with Cedric Alexander, and I like what I see from Cedric as a heel. I wish he was showcased a bit more. I wish he was given meaningful wins. He really doesn't get them. He loses again here. Brainbuster, 450 splash. Cedric is, I it's like they turned him, and I was excited because I kind of felt like he was lost in the shuffle a bit as a babyface, and I thought there would be something good for him as a heel, but instead he just continues to lose. Now, at least in this case, I think the idea was he slipped on the top rope going for a move, and it was intentional because it played into the storyline of what they're doing with Veda Scott suing the company. I believe it's unsafe working environment, and I'm not a big fan of this storyline. I mean, I have no idea where it's going, and I'm just the reason I'm not a fan is I just don't find myself really caring where it's going, but at least they tied it together. You know, him slipping on the top rope was something that she complained about a little bit later, which we'll get to. But and ACH, definitely a star. His flashy offense just winning the crowd over time and time again. But good action. You know, I wish there was more of a story between these two. ACH, they're playing up his deciding match with Matt Sydal in their Best of Five series. And Kevin Kelly got an interview with ACH afterward, and he talked about how he's going into that fifth and final match with the same mentality he had when he faced AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. He said the difference is that he's walking out with his hand raised. And I couldn't help but feel like, well, maybe you should go in with a different mentality if you lost the last two matches. But I know what they were going for. They went to a commercial break, and that after the break, we ended up with Beta Scott at ringside blowing a gasket on the broadcast team about the legal case. And she complained about the top rope being unsafe, kind of using that as a reason why Cedric Alexander slipped. And Nigel said he heard her complaint, and then he just kind of kept trying to ignore her as she vented. Again, at least they gave, there was some reason for Cedric losing the match by slipping on the top rope, and so it tied together nicely, but hopefully they're going to do more with Cedric. I mean, this is a guy who beat Moose. He ended Moose's winning streak, and then he just got beat by Moose, and really, I mean, I can't think of any meaningful victory he's had since then, and he's a guy with some talent. I like the pairing with Veda Scott, but I kind of feel like they're being positioned as just undercard talent when I feel like there's more to the act than that. I'm not saying he had to beat ACH, but it'd be nice to see him beat someone. Second match of the night was Caprice Coleman defeating Will Ferrara. The idea, Prince Nana came out to ringside, and so there's something going on with Coleman. He got the letter from Nana not too long ago, and he's been showing a little bit more of a mean streak. He's not showing, I mean, he's still the nice guy on the mic, but he's showing a bit more of a mean streak, and that played out here as Ferrara ended up charging in the corner, and Coleman moved, and Ferrara went through the ropes and hit his shoulder on the ring post. And then Coleman kind of looked at him, and, you know, nice guy Caprice Coleman wouldn't have exploited that, but this Coleman was all over it. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders and then ran Ferrara through the ropes and into the post a couple of different times, and then applied the judgment seat submission hold that also worked on that same arm. And then after the match, Nana ended up giving an envelope to Ferrara. So it looks like they're going to be doing a little something there where maybe these two will be part of a faction or something. I'm not quite sure. But I like that Coleman is getting some extra attention, that he actually has something going other than just being that happy guy who comes out and gets a nice reaction, but ultimately loses. And then there's Ferrara, who just kind of loses. He's just kind of the designated job guy. And I think there's a little something there. So especially with Coleman, and I think this will be a chance for Ferrara, wherever it's going, to break out. Who knows? Maybe he'll reject Nana, and that'll be the setup of a feud. I'm not quite sure, but it would just be nice to see Ferrara get a little something. At a locker room set, Adam Cole delivered a promo, and he talked about he thinks the answer of who is better between he and Kyle O'Reilly was answered last week when he beat AJ Styles and O'Reilly in the three-way main event. They showed some highlights of that. And then he recalled beating O'Reilly in June of 2012. He talked about how Kyle left him with a scar that he'll have for the rest of his life, and we got some footage of that match as well. And Cole said he is not going to stop until O'Reilly is gone from Ring of Honor, and they went to a break. I mean, Cole is a very good talker. I don't know that they made the right call here in turning Cole again. He was starting, I think the fans were taking to him as a babyface, and when he turned back heel and rejoined the Kingdom, it was a bit of a letdown. I was kind of hoping maybe Fish would turn on O'Reilly. Just something a little bit different. But I mean, these two work extremely well together. I'm looking forward to their next singles match. But I think O'Reilly needs to step up on the mic on his end. We get bits and pieces of it. It's not like he's a bad promo, but he's made some progress. But Cole is a very good talker. I just I, they need to. I just I guess I don't really get a feel for why this feud is taking place with the characters themselves. I mean, obviously from O'Reilly's standpoint, he was turned on by Cole, but it just kind of feels. I mean, Cole's used some heel logic there, but it just feels like it's kind of empty. And it's like, just go after the title. Why are you going after Kyle O'Reilly when you could just be targeting the world championship? Is kind of the obvious question I get whenever he starts talking about how he wants to rid O'Reilly from Ring of Honor. They went to a commercial after that. When they came back, Kelly interviewed Nana at ringside, and he spoke about enlightenment and said he is far from being done. And then Kelly set up footage of the All Night Express's return at All Star Extravaganza, and the All Night Express made their way to the ring for the main event. Then the Briscoes followed. They shook hands, they showed that, and then they took a commercial break. And then when they came back, we got the actual match, which was the Briscoes defeating Kenny King and Rhett Titus. Good competitive match. Both teams getting a lot of near falls. Mark hitting Froggy Bow on Titus, Rhett Titus, and pinning him to win the match for his team. And then the two teams shook hands again afterward. This worked as a television main event. It was entertaining, but I really question the idea of having the All Night Express lose to the Briscoes this soon. I mean, I didn't think their return at the actual return itself was a nice surprise at the pay-per-view. The way it fall the follow-up since then has just been kind of eh, a little bit. It's left a lot to be desired. I thought they would be doing more with these guys, and instead they're just kind of defining them down by having the Briscoes beat them. Now maybe it's going somewhere. Maybe there'll be heels in no time. I'm not quite sure. But it's already a crowded tag division, and when you have a hot team, I get it. I mean, they're former ROH champions. They're not like the greatest team in Ring of Honor history or anything like that. But I thought King's return was a nice surprise, and it was so good to see Rhett Titus do something other than the romantic touch character. I don't know. I'm not saying they should have beaten the Briscoes here as much as I am saying they shouldn't be facing the Briscoes on television. Have these guys win some television matches, and their television return it was nothing memorable either. And I'm struggling to think of what they did in that. It's like, just give these guys some wins and refresh people's memories of what their move set is, and see if they can build some momentum. And instead, it's just kind of they're losing to the Briscoes, albeit in an entertaining and competitive match. And so after this was over, Kevin Kelly hyped Matt Taven against Michael Bennett, or I'm sorry, Matt Taven and Michael Bennett against Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian for the ROH tag titles for next week. And just kind of looking ahead without giving you any spoilers, I'll just tell you that we're also going to get an update on that whole Steve Corino situation as well. So overall, I thought, it was a solid hour of television with some, just kind of questionable booking moves that may, in the long run, turn out to be okay. But I wasn't blown away by this week's ROH television for being the first show of a new taping. I thought it was actually kind of underwhelming. I thought we would have gotten a little bit more than we did here. But it was it, it they filled an hour of television, and everything. We saw matches that. That had some purpose. They're much better at that than they were at one time, where just kind of ROH television felt like They were just filling an hour of television time. You know, you might get a main event of the show, but there wasn't much in the way of storytelling where, hey, the opening match, they're obviously doing something with ACH heading into his fifth and final match with Matt Sydal. And then Cedric Alexander and Veda Scott, whether you like it or not, the rope slip plays into what they're doing with their lawsuit storyline. And then Caprice Coleman and Will Ferrara, the whole Prince Nana thing. I mean, those, it just kind of felt like the undercard. You know, first portion of the show with those two matches, and nothing really spotlighted special there, but still, they had some sort of purpose to it. And I would say ACH is more than undercard, that's for sure. And then the main event, you know, you got a good television main event, but I don't know what story was told there. I guess that's the one where I'm kind of left going, all right, they were friendly coming in, they're friendly going out, the Briscoes win over, nothing really changes. I mean, the Briscoes are. At the time, you know, they're above All Night Express in the tag division, but it made for a good television main event. But that's the one where I just don't know what was really accomplished, and other than just giving you a decent television main event, maybe they're just not that high on King and Titus. I'm not quite sure. But next week's show should be interesting. And by the way, I filled in this week for Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed. The guys were having some technical issues on the other side of the pond over in the UK. Both of those guys do. It's either one or both of them getting together for Ring of Honor and NXT television reviews, just depending on the week. They will be back, I believe, next week. I know Darren mentioned something about vacations, or as he puts it, holiday. So I'm not quite sure what his status is officially yet. I'll check with him. But if he doesn't cover the shows in audio form, either Hayden or I will. And also, I will be doing the NXT audio review that the guys couldn't do due to their technical issues. That show will be available exclusively to .NET members, as is today's one-hour .NET Weekly audio show that Jake Barnett and I did, discussing the whole Seth Rollins situation with the now the WWE World Heavyweight Championship tournament. I mentioned Rollins because not so much we didn't really talk too much about the injury itself. We covered that last week because we actually had a Friday edition of .NET Weekly with Will Pruitt, and I did that. So we talked about should he come back as a babyface, and with WWE ratings and viewership being where they're at, is there any chance that Vince McMahon will consider a John Cena heel turn? I mean, it's come up before, and we talk about, you know, the possibilities of it, whether it's a pipe dream, whether we do we feel it's even realistic that he would be discussing it, or is he going to lean heavily? Is he going to look at the numbers as proof that, my God, we need babyface John Cena back? Should Roman Reigns be a heel? You know, so we talked about that, all the news of the week, and more in the .NET Weekly audio show. I think it was 67 minutes, somewhere around there, available exclusively for .NET members. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, visit the main page and look for the sign-up area. You can't miss it, right there on the main page. And it's going, once you're in there, you're going to see three different pricing options: annual, 6 month, and monthly. If you take the annual option, that's the best bang for your buck. You get 12 months of .NET membership. It works out to $5.50 per month is what it breaks down to. If you want to try the 6 month, you certainly can save a little bit of money there too. And if you do want to try it out for 1 month, see if we're a good fit for you, enjoy the ad-free access, all the audio content that we provide, access to the members forum where you can correspond with a great group of people. $7.50 is our price for 1 month. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions on anything, you can always hit me up on Twitter @ProWrestlingNet. Just leave the dot out of that one, @ProWrestlingNet. All right, everybody, until next time, thank you so much for listening. Take care.